family and friends. You know, cousins kind of can have that. Brothers and sisters, they can't have that sort of friends and family thing for a while. You know, cousins can develop that sort of relationship a lot better than siblings many times. When you guys are together, do you just like sit there and never talk with each other?
No.
No. Okay. So you talk. You talk occasionally with each other. Okay. Would you say it's fairly regular? Once a day, perhaps.
Oh, more than once a day.
Okay. Okay.
Sometimes I sit there in silence.
Okay.
Yeah. Whenever we
want to
go on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter.
I'm sorry, say that again.
That's if we want to go on like social media.
Okay, while you're sitting with you.
Yeah.
Now would you ever like think this, you would sit down for like 3 hours with each other and just Instagram and Twitter and all that and never comment to the other person about what's going on with what you're doing on social media? You just get together and do that?
I mean, sometimes, but usually we like talk about what we see.
Okay, oh, but you're talking about what's going on. Okay, that's my point. Is you don't just sit there, you don't make it a point that, hey, we're going to get together, we're going to sit down, we're never going to talk to each other, but we're going to talk to everyone else in the world. But you converse about what's going on while you're doing that. Okay.
Once we're mad at each other, then we sit.
Okay, when you're mad at each other, you might. Do you ever talk about what you're mad about with the other person?
Eventually, yeah.
Eventually, okay. Yeah. Why would that be?
Because we need space and time.
You have to think things out.
But why would you talk about things? You're mad at each other. Why would you talk about the things you're mad?
Because we don't want to say things that, like, we wouldn't want to say. Like, in the heat of the moment, we don't want to say something
okay.
To regret.
Okay, that's why you would wait, but why, once you do start talking, why would you speak? Because, after all, you're mad at her. So why would you speak to her if you're mad? Oh, to resolve the problem. Oh. Okay, go. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay. Today we're going to be talking about prayer. Okay. Go ahead, Caleb. Prayer, Joyce Meyer has said that prayer is God's first line of defense and offense for every situation. Okay, God's first line of defense and offense in every situation is prayer. What she means by that is God has given us prayer as a means to attack the world, to live out our life in the world, and to be protected in the world. And that's the first and main strategy that he has given us. And in Scripture, in the pages of Scripture, it's amazing to think about how central prayer is. For instance, the first instance of prayer, the first mention of prayer is probably in Genesis 4:26, where it says, in the days of Enosh, who was the son of Seth, men began to call the name of the Lord. The context for that's kind of significant because in chapters 1 through 3, God and man speak directly to each other. Even when Adam and Eve sin, God speaks directly with them. In the garden, you know, what have you done, okay? In chapter 4, in the early part of chapter 4, it's the story of Cain killing Abel. And God confronts Cain directly. Where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. He talks directly with Cain. But as generations pass, and there's a little interlude there in the middle of chapter 4 where we have some genealogical information, as generations pan out, the direct communication between God and man passes away in terms of God speaks directly from heaven to them. They speak directly to God in the sort of conversation that we're having right now. But in 426, we have the beginning of the notion of prayer. Then, in Revelation 22, verse 20, almost at the very end of the Bible ends with a prayer. The writer John says, "Even so, Lord, come." Then, throughout the Bible, there are some 355 prayers that are recorded. Some of them are long, some of them are very short. But Herbert Lockyer, in his book, All the Prayers of the Bible, counted up 355. We might quibble, we might say there's a few more, there's a few less, but that's a substantial number, 355 prayers. In Numbers chapter 6, and you have the passages there in your handout, one of the key elements that Moses commanded the priests to do, the priests of Israel, they, as a central part of their job, they were to pray over Israel. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you're to bless the Israelites. Say to them," and then basically it's a prayer, "Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. Yahweh turn his face toward you, give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." The priests are to pray for the Israelites, and in return, God will bless the Israelites. 1 Samuel, this is one of my favorite passages about prayer. In the story where the Israelites have asked for a king and they've erred badly in asking for a king, but God gives them a king, gives them Saul. And in the aftermath of that, Samuel says this in 1 Samuel 12:23, because they're all frightened that they've sinned and now God is angry, and they want Samuel to remain their prophet and to kind of guide them and the new king. And he says, "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against Yahweh by failing to pray for you, and I'll teach you the way that is good and right." Notice that Samuel thinks that if he fails to pray for the Israelites, he will be sinning against God. That it's more than just, it wouldn't be a good thing for me, you know, it'd be kind of deleterious on my, you know, delinquent on my duties. It would be sin against God for him not to pray for the Israelites. The disciples in the Gospel of Luke, they come up to Jesus, and this is the only request that the disciples ever made to Jesus that Jesus honored when they asked about teaching. They made other requests, like, "Lord, save us, we're about to drown," okay, when they're out on the boat there in the Sea of Galilee. But the only thing the disciples asked Jesus to teach them about was to teach them to pray. The command to pray appears 18 times in the New Testament. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, Paul, as he's instructing his young protege Timothy about ministry, says, "I urge then, first of all, that request, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone." And he's not just talking to Timothy about Timothy. This is in a section where he's telling Timothy what he's supposed to make sure is happening in the church. So one of the key things that Paul thinks should be happening for all believers is that they should be making requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving made for everyone. And then a text that I was kind of fascinated by as I was thinking about my presentation today, I was looking at the use of the word praying. It's in a participle form with the ing form. It's interesting sometimes to see what verbs are associated with. And I hadn't realized this before, but in Ephesians 6, there's that famous passage about putting on the armor of God. You know, we're supposed to have the belt of truth buckled around our waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, our feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel. We have the helmet of salvation. We're supposed to have all this neat armor of God stuff. And whenever I've heard a sermon series on the armor of God or a youth group lesson on the armor of God, no one has ever pointed out verse 18. In verse 18, it says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasion with all kinds of prayers and requests." Prayer is part of the armor of God. Prayer is part of the armor of God. In fact, it is the part of the armor of God that makes every other part effective. Now, why should we pray? Why is prayer important? Well, it reminds us that God is in control. When you come to God and you talk to Him about situations, you're reminding yourself that God's the one who can do something about it. Okay? When you have a problem, you don't talk to people who can't help you. At least that's not a healthy thing to do. Just to go out and just talk to anybody. You know, you're having a really, really bad personal problem, okay? And so you go and you find the lady who's in charge of the jewelry department at Kohl's, and you just start, you know, burying your life to her. Most normal people don't do that. They go to someone who can actually help them. So when we pray, we remind ourselves that God's in control. It also reminds us that we depend on Him for everything. And that's an important thing to remember. When we forget to pray, we start depending on ourselves. But when we pray regularly, we remind ourselves how much we depend upon God. This, I think, is the biggest one, though. Prayer helps us align our thinking and action with God's thinking and action. When we pray, we're having a conversation with God. And the reason why you have conversations with other people is basically so you can align yourself together for whatever purpose you're having the conversation. What are you doing tonight? Nothing, okay. Well, do you want to go to the movie? Yeah. Let's go to the movie. Okay, what's playing? Okay, you list off the movies, okay. And we could catch this one at 6:40 if we go to Vista Ridge. We could catch it cheaper at the AMC over in the old Valley View Mall if we go at 6. Yeah, but I don't get off work until, I'm not going to be able to get back to campus till 6:15. And then you go back and forth, and you finally figure out what theater you're going to, what movie you're going to, and who all's going with you. You align your purposes, you align your plans, you align your actions, you align your thoughts through conversation. The same thing happens in prayer. We talk to God, and through the Spirit, and through Scripture, we're going to talk more about that this morning. Through Scripture, He speaks back with us, and because we pray, as we go through our lives, we become more attentive to what God's doing. We ask God for help. Lord, I need help. I can't pay my school bill. And then suddenly we're driving down the road and we see, hey, that's a help wanted sign. And they want help, and you go up there and you find out, oh, they need help at just the right time when I don't have class, when I don't have it. Huh, okay. We become attentive to things that God might be doing in our life. Also, prayer is a conversation which we share with God the pains and joys of our life. That's, when I had, what are your two names again?
Haley.
Haley and? Sidra. Okay, Sidra. So I had them up here. Conversation, you don't just sit in a room with people, okay? You talk, okay? And you talk about your joys and your pain. So when I asked about the social media and all that, you know, in your generation and a little bit in my generation, we can do that now. We can have conversations with people across the globe while we're sitting in a room with 50 other people. And sometimes that's bad when we're not conversing with the people that are right there. But most of the time, we, even while we're doing social media, we see things that excite us, that grieve us, that interest us, and we begin conversing with the other person about it. Prayer is a time when we bring to God what's going on in our life. That happens in every healthy relationship. A very non-healthy relationship is one where the person is there, where two people are there, but one person never speaks to the other. That's an unhealthy relationship. Or that person is, one person is doing all kinds of stuff while the other person is just kind of there. If I go to the Christmas party, the employee Christmas party here at DCC, my wife does not get to see my fellow employees a lot. And if I'm sitting there talking with Dr. Horn, talking with Dr. Bourne, talking with Dr. Snyder, Dr. Fish, Mr. Long, and everybody about stuff at work, and she knows nothing about it, and we're not engaging her in the conversation, that's not healthy. But that's often what happens in our life. God is with us at all times, and we act like he's not there because we don't talk to him. Okay? We're talking to everyone else about everything else, but we're not talking to him. Prayer is a conversation in which we bring to God what's going on in our life, the good things that are going on, the bad things that are going on, and when we do that, then that opens up the door for him to hear and to respond. Now, you may go, well, God knows everything, so why does he want us to pray if he already knows something? Well, let me tell you, you know, guys especially, how this works with women. Guys have this terrible problem. Well, she knows I love her. Crying out loud. I take her out for dates. I pay for her lunch, you know, or, you know, married guys are really bad at this, and I'm a married guy, okay? Oh, you know, why does she want me to tell her that I love her? I've been married to her for 26 years. We have two children together. You know, I keep coming home, yada, 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 and yeah, she knows that I love her, but she wants to hear it. And more importantly, perhaps, I need to say it. Okay? It kind of goes back to some of the earlier ones. We need to tell God what we need, not because God has to hear it from us or he wouldn't know, but when we tell him what we need and then he provides it, then we go, ah, God did that. Not me. When we forget to ask and then we receive, we fail to acknowledge that it is God who sent it. Okay? When we fail to tell God the hard things that we're going through in life, when he sends people into our life that help us, we fail to recognize that it was him who sent those people. When we have wonderful times going on in our life and we fail to thank him for it, then we think all those wonderful times are because of us. And so we need to have this conversation where he hears and he responds us, and then where we can hear the voice of God. Now, that's all about the importance of prayer. Why don't we pray? Well, there's lots of reasons. Lots of reasons why most of us don't pray the way we should. And I'll throw myself in as the first person on this. Lots of reasons for this. We get too busy. We let other things distract us. I think one of the main reasons is that we make prayer out to be something bigger than it is. One of the things my dad used to tell me a lot about many things was make it what it is, but don't make it what it's not. You know, whatever the situation was, make it what it is, but don't make it what it's not. Don't overcomplicate it, but make it what it is. I think one of the reasons why many of us struggle with prayer is that we really don't, we can't figure out what in the world we're going to talk to the master of the universe for more than 2 minutes about. What is it? Because he knows everything, right? We can figure out what to talk to our friends about because they're stupid, okay? They need instruction, okay? Or they're ignorant. They don't know. But God knows everything. So what in the world, literally, what in the world can I talk to the master of the universe about? Okay? So I think that if we kind of think a little better about the content of prayer, it makes praying much more easy. And so today, I want to spend the bulk of our time talking about some things that you can use in prayer that may help you to begin developing your prayer life more effectively. And that's, yes, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah, let me stop you there and throw something in there. A lot of people talk about the power of prayer. There is no power in prayer. There's power in Jesus. There's power in the Spirit. There's power in God. That's why it's important to pray. Not because prayer does stuff. God does things. And prayer is about connecting you to God. And let's turn our attention to the content prayer. On one level, it doesn't really matter what you pray. It's more important that you pray than that you pray correctly, whatever praying correctly would look like. On one level, I think that's true. But on a different level, just as communication between dialogue partners can be more significant than other communication, I think some prayer can be more significant and deeper than others. You can be friends and talk on a surface level constantly. See the game last night. Did you do the homework for Dr. Snyder? Yeah, you can do surface level stuff day after day after day, week after week, and basically you won't be friends. You'll be acquaintances and you'll be buddies. Friends share deeply. I'm hurting. This is what's going on in my life, or this is what has happened in my life, and it makes it very difficult for me to move forward. Or this is the greatest thing that ever happened to me now, and this is why it's great. Okay, friends share deeply about deep things. And I think the same is true about prayer. We can pray at one level, and the most elementary level that people have for prayer is, God, this is what I need right now. I'm signing off. Thank you. God, I need help with my school bill. God, help me to remember this list for World Civ. God, help me do this. God, send me this. God, give me this. That's the most elementary level of conversation. Think about it. When you first learned how to talk, you learned mommy and daddy, and then the first things that you learned after that were request. Food, drink, you know. Well, you learned to spew out what you wanted. That was your most basic and elementary conversation. It's only as you got older and more mature that you could have deeper conversations with people that move beyond, this is what I want. So, I want to give you an outline. Some of you may be very familiar with this, and it's on your handout. It's often called the Acts of Prayer. It's an acrostic that outlines four different components of prayer that I think if you begin to cultivate these four components of prayer, you'll suddenly find yourself talking to God longer because you got more things to talk about. As long as you only are talking about what you need, if you don't need anything today, or you think you don't need anything today, you won't talk to God today. You know, you don't go down to the business office if you don't need anything from Mrs. Mango or from Miss Short. Okay? You don't go to Dr. Fish's office if you don't need something from Dr. Fish. You go to Dr. Fish's office if you want to talk with Dr. Fish. You'll find your way to Mrs. Mango, if I don't know what got in my head there. If you just simply want to talk. And we need to get to away from simply I'm going to God to ask for things, and I'm going to God to talk. So what are things that you can talk about? A, adoration. Praise God for his wonder, his power, and his character. You just simply talk to God about how wonderful he is. That he's gracious and loving. Or you say, it's a beautiful day. We're going to be out tomorrow on service day. And one of the acts of prayer that all of us can do, if the weather is supposed to be, it ends up being what it's supposed to be, it's going to be like nice and warm, and we can be out there, and we can just say, oh, it's a beautiful day. You can start out your prayer life with, God, it's a beautiful, beautiful morning. Or if it's stormy, to realize that God holds all that power. That the God who created that wind and that lightning puts all that power into play for you on many occasions. A is for adoration. C is for confession. Now, I've expanded on what a lot of people do with confession. Most people, when they're talking about confession, they say your C prayer, your confession prayer, is telling God about your sins. I want to go beyond that. I think confession is also about maybe my failures. Maybe I didn't sin, but I've got failures in my life that I'm really ticked about. You know, I really screwed up in the soccer game. And I'm mad at myself about it. And by the way, God, everyone else is mad at me. He wants to hear that. Because then he can start working on you and working with you and on your teammates. Not just your sins. Sins, big failures. Talk to God about your sins, but also talk about your foibles, your failures, your concerns and your fears. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of today? That's something that you need to talk to God about. Because you would talk to a friend about that, a real friend. You would talk about your fears. Then T, thanksgiving. Say thank you to God for the goodness and the blessings that surround you. Not just the things that you prayed for and he gave you, but just the good stuff that's around you. You know, most of us grew up in homes where it was emphasized that we ought to pray, you know, for our food, okay? We ought to thank God for our food. Well, it goes beyond that. You know, you got a bed to sleep in. You didn't freeze last night, okay? You didn't bake in the heat in the Texas summer, okay? You had air conditioning. You know, I coached Bible team at Valley View Christian Church and now the Farmers Branch Church of Christ. And one of the kids, whenever we do prayer time, one of the kids is very uneasy with her prayer life. But one thing that whenever it's her turn to pray, you know, different kids pray at the end of practice, each practice. And whenever it's her turn to pray, if nothing else, she thanks God that we're alive. You know, thank you, God, that we're not dead. Now, it sounds silly sometimes when she says it, but she's a 14-year-old girl who lost a 12-year-old classmate 2 years ago. Thank you, God, that we're not dead. She's thanking God that all the people that are precious to her are still alive, because she's lost someone that was her best friend. You know, thank God for the blessings and the goodness that surrounds you. And then S, supplication. That's the big word for the day. Supplication. Ask God for the help and provision you and others need. Now again, let's think in terms of let's grow in our prayer life. Most of us are very well conditioned to ask God to help us when we need help. One of the big areas of growth in prayer is to unselfishly look into the lives of others and ask God to help them. It's okay to ask for God to help you as long as you're asking God to help other people. For instance, you know, current events. We probably ought to be asking God to be with healthcare workers who work at Texas Health South Presbyterian Hospital here in Dallas. We probably ought to be asking about that. We probably ought to be asking that God would provide expertise, funding, and help for Ebola victims and those working with Ebola in West Africa. We probably ought to be asking that God would provide help for poor inner city Dallas and Fort Worth kids and wherever you come from who need like good quality teachers who are willing to be in their classrooms instead of just getting the secondhand teachers that can't get hired in the richer school districts. We ought to be asking God for lots of things. You know, you start thinking about what everybody that you come in contact needs. Suddenly you can find things to talk to God about. The acts of prayer, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. That's the first thing that will expand your prayer life. The second one is praying Scripture. Praying Scripture. Some of the most rewarding prayer experiences come from you turning Scripture around and making it into prayer. Now, what's really neat about praying Scripture is that it automatically will align you with God, because it's going to ensure that your prayer life is aligned with God's concerns and God's desires. If God in His Word talked about something, and you talk to God about that same thing, guess what? You're aligned. That's what happens in a really good conversation. Somebody, did you see the game last night? Yes, I watched the game. You know, I watched the baseball game last night. You know, the pitching was, you know, and you start talking about the same thing. If two people come and sit down at the table and they have two completely different agendas and they persist in talking about their two different agendas, that ain't a conversation. That's two people talking past each other. But if we come to Scripture and we see what God says, then we are aligned with His concerns. Now, how do you pray Scripture? Well, there's two major ways of doing it. The most natural way is to pray a prayer that already appears in Scripture. You might have to change the pronouns. You might have to change, you know, you might have to insert names to make it appropriate for the situation. I've got some passages here that are examples. And on your sheet, I've got these passages. If you look on the flip side, on the back side, Colossians 1, verses 9 through 12. Paul says there, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Okay, let's just stop with that sentence. Some of you in the dorm, or if you live off campus, just in, you know, athletic teams or classes you're in, or just in just the normal discourse of making friends here on campus, no upperclassmen, seniors, maybe even some seniors that this is their last semester, and they're staring that thing in the eyes that is one of the most horrifying experiences for students in their early 20s. You've been in school all your life, and suddenly there's no more school. And you got to, like, make a life. That is a scary time. And they're trying to figure out, what does it look like? I've been in school for 18 straight years. I've been, you know, pre-K all the way to senior in college. I've been in school for 18 years. What does life look like? When they hand me that diploma, what does life look like? That is a scary time. Those of us who did graduate degrees, we just delayed it for 7 or 8 years. And it's scary at the end. You could pray. We've not stopped praying for you and asking, okay, God, would you please help Mike Grigsby, insert the name, person that you know, would you please help this person understand your will? May they have spiritual wisdom and understanding about what it is that you want to do with her life. Okay? If you just work your way down through some of these prayers that are found, that are written in Scripture, and you change the pronouns, you insert names, you will find that many of the prayers in the Bible fit your friends. They fit you. This is what I need. For instance, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 19, I pray that Father, I pray that out of Christ's glorious riches, you might strengthen me with power through your Spirit in my inner being, so that your Son might dwell in my heart. Okay? You could take the same passage and pray it all week. You don't know what to pray for? Find a prayer in the Bible and pray it all week. There you go. It's not, you're not on a time clock. Now, here's one that I think one of the great misnomers, one of the great misconception, that to be a good prayer, you have to pray for an hour. No. Sometimes praying every day for 3 minutes, something really deep, is the most significant praying that can be done. So I would challenge you, you can start by praying prayers from Scripture. The other thing you can do with praying Scripture is you can read a passage and then simply reflect on what it's saying, and then ask yourself, how do I need to pray about that for me? Is there something in this passage through which the Spirit is talking to me and I need to talk to God about it? Okay? Is there something in this passage that I'm reading that I can offer up to someone, for someone else? I've given you, next bullet point, Caleb. Thank you. How does the text you're reading prompt a prayer in the Acts model? It all comes together. Okay, I may be praying something, go, okay, is there something in this text that I just read in my quiet time that speaks of something that I can adore God for? Does it remind me of a fear, a failure, a sin that I need to confess? Does it remind me of something I need to give thanks for? Does it remind me of something I need to request from God? For instance, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5, okay? 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 22. I didn't put the individual verse numbers in there. I probably should have for this one. But look there. It says, "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you." Just that one verse, verse 12, could give you something to pray for. It could tell you, I need to thank God for an instructor, for a coach, Mr. Worley, for Mrs. Stepp, Dr. Stepp, for my preacher, for someone back home, a church leader back home, okay? You know, just reading through the passage. Then a little bit later in that passage, he says, live in peace with each other. Well, that could give you something to pray about. Father, so-and-so got me like really ticked yesterday. I don't know what in the world he was thinking. Okay, I'm really mad. Help me to figure out what I did, if I did something, or help me to figure out how I can make peace with this person. If you just go down through those passages and you reflect on them and you think about application, then I guess what I'm really saying is your application of any Bible passage probably should begin with your prayers. The first application you can make to any Bible passage is praying about it. And that might be the secret for why we sometimes find it difficult to apply passages, because we haven't prayed about them first. Okay? Now, I'm not gonna torture you on this, you know, for 15 minutes. I'm gonna ask 5 minutes from you. What I want you to do is I've given all these passages except for Psalm 51. Psalm 51 was a little bit long and I couldn't fit it on and have one sheet of paper. But I've given you Psalm 100, Philippians 1, 9 through 11, and Romans 12, 17, and 18 on your paper. If you have a Bible, you can look up Psalm 51. What I want to challenge you to do over the next 5-6 minutes is either as individuals or you can get in groups of 2 or 3, is to read a passage, and then pray off of that passage. Again, you've got the handout, so you got the text, okay? If you don't have the handout, they're back there, I guess, unless they're gone. But you can borrow, okay? Think about the acts of prayer, A-C-T-S. Think about the content of the passage that you're reading. Or, if one of you feels really adventurous in the group, pick your own passage. Read it real quickly and pray off of it. So either as individuals or getting groups of 2 or 3, okay, please no more than 3, because you start getting in groups of 5, you know, I think attention span's not going to work too good. Okay, so getting groups of 2 or 3 or as individuals, and for the next 5 minutes, let's read passages and pray. You can pray out loud. We're going to pray out loud, okay? So there'll be a lot of noise in here. No one's going to hear you praying because everyone else is praying, okay? So you can do this. You can do this.